Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 12.
Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetop. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say."
Well, when last we looked at the Gospel of Luke together, we considered an important Bible word called woe. And we have another familiar word from our English translations in this morning's reading, fear. It's a word that occurs time and again throughout the scriptures. We talk about the fear of the Lord. We're told to fear God and honour the King. And the title, it's even used as a title for God at some stage. In Genesis 31 and verse 42, God is described as the fear of Isaac. But it's an uncomfortable word for us, if we're honest. The fear of God? Are we meant to fear God? Because fear speaks to us of threats, of broken relationships, perhaps of unfair judgment or vindictive revenge. But they are human characteristics. That is fear in a human context. God's character is very different from ours. If we're not careful, we sometimes think of God just as a big, particularly powerful man. But he's not. He's a being very, very different. We have to see fear in that context. He, God, warns, doesn't threaten. His judgments are always right, whereas ours are not. He will be vindicated. He's not vindictive. The vengeance that God takes is measured and appropriate. It doesn't go beyond what is appropriate. So how can we understand fear? Now, I was helped some years ago by an illustration that a visiting speaker brought to Little Staunton, where we used to worship. And I want to share that with you this morning and hope it helps you as it helped me. Jill, can we have this picture? Now, we haven't handed out any sweets this morning, so who can identify what that hill is? Anybody tell us who that is? Where that is?
Caledonian Canal.
Well, the Caledonian Canal is on the left, but that's not the main part of the picture, is it? Oh, come on, Alistair, help me. What is that? It is Ben Nevis. Yes, Ben Nevis, Now, to some... Oh, I said I was going to give you a sweet, didn't I? Go on. This mountain is Ben Nevis. In the front, you can see the sea level. There's just a few houses there to indicate where Fort William is. And then Ben Nevis rears up behind it. And when you stand at its foot, as I have on one occasion, by it looks big. It is big. You stand there and you think, that is big, but I'm very small. That is very powerful, and I'm not. And it might induce fear. It did with me. Its power, its size, my weakness, my smallness, there is such a gulf between that mountain and the climber. That's fear in a way. We don't need to be afraid of ascending that, though, if we approach it in the right way. If we recognise its power and its greatness, we respect its capabilities and approach it, therefore, not carelessly, not flippantly, not casually. We don't try and walk up it in t-shirt and shorts with sandals on our feet. Notice that, Brian. You know, we approach it carefully and thoughtfully. You respect it. And if you do that, if you recognise its power and you respect its capabilities, then it has magnificent things to offer you when you ascend it. Humble yourself before it, know your limitations and its awesomeness, and you can have tremendous experience by climbing to the summit of that. The fear of God can be thought of similarly. It's not a perfect image, of course it's not, but I thought, found it helpful. To fear God means to respect him, to recognise who he is. He's the perfect, pure and holy God. Remember what is in his power to give, life or death. To respect him, therefore, and approach him, not casually, not flippantly, but prepared and in the right way. We're not to take the name of the Lord in vain, it says in one of the Ten Commandments. We can sometimes think of that as just sort of, we mustn't use God or Christ or Jesus as a curse word. And we shouldn't, that's right. But not taking the name of the Lord in vain is much wider. The name of a person in the scriptures means all their character. It's a summation of their character and all their power and all their aspects. So when we don't take the name of the Lord in vain, it means we don't belittle him. We don't disrespect him. We don't fail to recognise what a great God he is. If we do take the name of the Lord in vain, then that's blasphemy. And that way, we will fear God in the wrong way. The way, the fear of God is to respect and recognise his potential and therefore to approach him properly. And when we do, it becomes a very positive thing because he has the power and authority to give us everlasting life. And that's good news for us, isn't it? You ascend Ben Nevis and you get the most wonderful views over the highlands. You get the most wonderful sensation of being there. The most wonderful privilege that no other place in this country can give you. Approach God in the same fear and you can have a joy which is something to be desired above all other things, eternal life. So the fear of God, let's remember that as we pray. We come before this great God in prayer. Let's do that. So please turn in the Bible to Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. You'll find it on page 1044 of the Blue Church Bibles, and I think around page 970 of the Brown Church Bibles. As I've indicated, we're going to look at fearing God, fearing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for they are all God. With this understanding of fear that we've talked about before, recognition of his awesome power and respect for what he can do, and the need to approach him, therefore, in the right way. When we look at Jesus' words to his disciples in these 12 verses, they're teaching us to fear God the Father, in verses 1 to 7. Teaching us to fear God the Son, in verses 8 through to 10. And teaching us to fear God the Holy Spirit, in verses 10 to 12. So if you like titles for sermons, the fear of God. And if you like to divide them up, this is fearing God the Father, fearing God the Son, and fearing God the Holy Spirit. Let's take those in turn. The fear of the Father, verses 1 to 7. We begin by understanding that God knows all things. We have to recognize that he knows everything. Verse 2. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. Verse 3. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you've whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. Or verse 7. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows everything. Absolutely nothing is hidden from him about your physical characteristics, your emotional life, your thoughts. When we looked at the Pharisees the last time we were studying in Luke, we saw that their hypocrisy, their mask they wore. What they did was that they thought they could convince God of their fitness for heaven by outward appearance, while remaining sinful within. For that, there is no chance of eternal life. They didn't fear God. They didn't recognize that God's knowledge would go inside them. He would be able to see what they were thinking inside. They had no respect for him, no estimation of him. They thought only about those who could see the outside. They sought the high opinion of those who could see the outside and thought God would be the same. And it was disastrous. And it's disastrous for anyone who follows them in that today. You have to have your heart cleansed by God if you are to have eternal life. People do follow the Pharisees, though, today, don't they? You have this idea that you can pull the wool over the Father's eyes by your outward actions, while inwardly being unchanged. We, you know, disciplining and bringing up your children is one of the great pleasures of parenthood. And occasionally you say, no, look, you've got to go and say sorry. You must go and say sorry. The child who says, yeah, I'll go and say sorry, but I don't think sorry. You know? Inwardly, they're holding on to that. God can see what inwardly you are holding on to. It's like yeast that spreads through the dough, isn't it? The idea that you can pull the wool over God's eyes. It's everywhere. But if you fear him, if you recognise that he is all-knowing, and if you respect him and know that he's pure and perfect, you will see that your sin does matter. It's what separates you from him. And because there is no sin in heaven, so your sin, while it remains unforgiven, will keep you from having the eternal life in heaven that you could have. Verse 5. I'll show you who you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Fear him. If you haven't feared God here, you will be condemned to punishment. If you haven't recognised that he knows what's going on in your life. And it is punishment. The word that's used for hell in verse 5 is, there are several words used which we translate in our English translations as hell. This is the one, Gehenna, which is a place of punishment. Not just absent from God, not just in a sort of non-existence, but a place of punishment. Fear God. Recognize that he knows what is going on. But if you do fear him, if you do respect his purity and power and knowledge, and come to him, therefore, you will find that he has the most extensive and powerful love for you, his child. Jesus is talking to his disciples first and foremost here, isn't he? And in verses 6 and 7, he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet none of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Don't have a cringing fear of God, but respect and recognize his love for you. Recognize that you are worth so much to him that he sent his one and only son. And if you're worried that he can't love me, surely, don't be worried. Fear God. Recognize that he can love the most unlovable person in the world. Sometimes we say of people, only his mother could love him. But even a mother's love can run out. God's love for his own people will not run out. His awesome power and compassion means that he can love every last one of his children. Love them enough to save all of them completely and bring all of them completely into heaven. Respect, recognize that almighty power of God. Fear God in that sense, and you've no reason to be afraid of the death that ends life here in this world, because that will be the beginning of life in heaven, which is eternal. You are worth more than many sparrows. Don't be afraid in that sense. Fear. Fear God the Father. Respect his power to see your sin, but recognize his willingness to love his own to the very end. And how is that love of the Father shown? It's shown in the coming of the Son. Jill, might we have John 3:16? Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only special Son, Jesus. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, fear the Son. Verses 8, 9, and 10. Fear the Son. respect that promise. Recognize that that's what Jesus came to do. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Recognize. React accordingly. Fear God the Son in the same way that you would fear God the Father. Recognize his almighty power and recognize and respect that and therefore approach him properly. And what is that? It is to put your trust in him. Believe that he came to save not just people in general, but you. Believe that he came here to give you eternal life. He didn't come to issue a condemnation and a punishment, but to take upon himself the condemnation that's due to your sin, to my sin, to our sin. He came to endure the punishment that we deserved, to suffer the judgment that's due to our sin. The wages of sin, we're told in Romans 6, is death. He went and died on a cross so that we don't need to die eternally but can live eternally. Be in awe of that. Fear that. Recognize it. Respect it. Be amazed at it because it is true. And if you acknowledge its truth, recognize that you will be saved. He doesn't go back on his word. He doesn't break his promises. He is God. He is awesome in his holiness. So when he says it's only through me that you can come to the Father, he is telling you the truth. And don't think that he can't do it for you. He has the purity to pay the price of your sin, however great that is. Be fearful of his greatness, his awesomeness. He has the power to defeat Satan every time for every believer and to bring them into heaven. He can pay the price for all your sin for everyone. That is awesome. That is fearsome in its wonderfulness. But who can convince you of that? I can say that, and other preachers have stood here and said that and told you the truth, and you know that truth. But who can convince you of that? Only God, the Holy Spirit. My words, which I pray are faithful and true to the Scriptures, need God, the Holy Spirit, to apply them to your heart. Do you trust and believe the Holy Spirit? Fear God. The Holy Spirit is the message of verses 8 to 10. Fear God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, has come from heaven with a massive task. It's outlined for us in John chapter 14, verse 16. Now, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to convince people of sin. What a big job that is. You talked about, oh, I'm not sinful. What are you talking about? That's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. He's come to lead people to the words of Jesus. But do I really need to listen to what he says? Can I work it out myself? I think I know. Oh, he lived thousands of years ago, that Jesus. I don't need to listen to him. That's a big job for the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And then he comes to draw them to Jesus. Through Jesus to the Father. And not only that, he then has this task of going with each and every believer through the rest of that believer's life, giving them counsel, giving them support, encouragement, wisdom, guidance, giving them brothers and sisters and fellowship too. What a mighty God he must be to do all that. Jesus describes him as another counsellor in John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus is the first counsellor. He walks with his disciples and gives them teaching and wisdom and directs them in the right way, as we see in this passage here and throughout Luke. God, the Holy Spirit, has come to do that now, to walk alongside you. Recognize that. Respect that. Be in awe of his power. Fear the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge his power and authority, his goodness and wisdom here for you by doing what he says, obeying him. You cannot hope to reach heaven if you show no fear of the Holy Spirit. If you ignore what he has to say to you, that's blasphemy. To deny his character and work, that's taking the name of God the Holy Spirit in vain. You can't hope to reach heaven if you just ignore his word that you have to come to Christ alone for salvation. Do you think that there are things that God cannot do? There are. There is nothing that his power makes impossible in actions. But because of his character, he cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that. God cannot deny that he is the one true God, because that would be a lie. And he cannot contradict himself, because that would mean he was less than God. He cannot lie. He cannot deny that he is the one true God. He cannot contradict himself. So when he says, through God the Son, no one comes to the Father but by me, that is true. And when God, the Holy Spirit, comes and convicts us of sin, that's not a lie. He won't contradict himself, say, no, you're good enough after all. Forget that. So someone who will not listen to the Spirit, when the Spirit says it's only through Jesus that you come to the Father, that someone just cannot be forgiven. They are unforgivable. Verse 10. Someone who says, I will not look to Jesus as my only hope of the kingdom of God, cannot be saved. Because that is the only way, and God has said that's the only way. And he can't contradict himself, and he doesn't lie, and he is the one true God. Someone who says, I'll try and do it my own way, is bound to fail. There's no fear of God, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit in such a person. They truly are unforgivable. Yet for those who do honour and respect the Spirit, there is wonderful, wonderful privileges. They do come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and before they reach heaven, even now, God is with them all times. God, the Holy Spirit, is with them in all times and in all places to help them. That's what verses 11 and 12 are about. What an awesome Holy God the Holy Spirit is. What an awesome person he is. That he can go with you, give you the right words in the right situation, knows what your situation is, comes to support and strengthen and preach and help you. Fear God the Holy Spirit in all his ways. He's the messenger who's come to do a tremendous job, and he has done that time and time again. We see people coming to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore being reconciled to the Father in heaven and looking forward to heaven. That is a wonderful, wonderful demonstration of the almighty power of God the Holy Spirit. Messenger, counselor, guide, source of wisdom. Respect him and fear him, therefore, in that right way. Will you do that this morning? Will you fear the Spirit? Respect his message to you that you must put your hope in Jesus alone. Will you fear the Son? Recognize his awesome power in dying for your sins, all of your sins, on the cross, that you might have eternal life. And will you fear the Father who has your eternal life in his hands, but values you so much that he sent his one and only Son for you? Will you fear him? Will you acknowledge him, recognize him as the one true God? Will you fear God and live? Fear God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. It's the only way to heaven, but it is a sure way to heaven. You know that. Believe it in your hearts.